morning. A little background to the text as we look at it this morning, we see that Jesus is once again teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and he's gathered again a multitude unto him, as the text says, and because the multitude has gotten to be so great, he has entered into a ship. And he has gone out into the sea and is using now the ship as a pulpit to preach to everybody on the seashore so that everybody may hear what he is proclaiming. And in verse 2, it says that today he is teaching in a different way. Today he has begun teaching in what we know as parables. That is how he is expounding his doctrine of the kingdom of God unto these people. So first we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, what is a parable? What is it as to the method that Jesus is teaching? A parable, ladies and gentlemen, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, this is something that I think you would agree that only Jesus could do. Amen? We read the passage from Philippians earlier about how Christ, who was in heaven and put on flesh and came down, he's the only one that has experienced heaven. He is the only one that has knowledge of heaven. In fact, he is God incarnate. If there's someone who can speak about heavenly things in an earthly manner, praise God, it's him. And so that's why he says, he that hath ears, let him hear. He's the expert on the matter. And so as he is getting ready to give us earthly stories with heavenly meanings, we need to just take a moment and praise the Lord for the fact that he's willing to communicate these things to us, because without him taking the high heavenly things and bringing them to such a lowly matter here on this earth, we could never come even to an understanding of the things of God. Praise the Lord for his word this morning. Amen. Praise the word. Praise the Lord for the servant of God that is portrayed here in the Gospel of Mark, that he's willing to serve us in this magnificent way to give us the oracles of God, because we would not have them if he did not do this. It's through these parables that the simple mind of man can be open to the infinite oracles of God. But there's a catch to it. If you're going to get full meaning, if you're going to get full understanding, if you're going to grasp these divine revelations and stories that God has for us in earthly things of heavenly matters, then you need to be willing to dig and go a little deeper to get them. How do we know this? Because the text tells us, if you skip down to verses 9 to 13, Jesus gives us an understanding as to how these parables work. You see, first you got to be willing to hear them. First you got to be willing to hear them. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you hear people. Amen? Wives are like, amen. Amen. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you hear. You got to be willing to listen. You got to be willing to take it in. You got to be willing to go deeper and further. In fact, that's what happens in the text. It says that the 12, after Jesus tells this parable, gather to him and say, hey, we want to know more about what you just shared. Explain this to us. And Jesus tells them, praise the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. If you knew that these parables unlocked the mystery of the kingdom of God, I would hope in your hearts that you would hunger and thirst and want to go deeper to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God and how they apply to your life. Amen? Amen. Then, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know, mind your Bible like a workman and be in it each and every day and ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. Because there's so many of us today that'll say, we don't know what the Lord wants for us. Why is this happening? How could this be? And God says, I've given you. He's telling his disciples, he's telling y'all, the answers and the mysteries of the kingdom of God is right here. But you have to be willing to mind the work to get them. It's on us if we don't understand. In fact, he says, but unto them that are without, no understanding, all these things are done in parables. He said, they're just going to be stories if you don't dig deeper. They're just going to be stories if you don't go farther. They're just going to be stories if you don't look for understanding from the one who's telling them. And praise the Lord, Jesus is willing. When you're willing to go that extra, Jesus is right there willing to give you that revelation. He's right there willing to give you that understanding. The Holy Spirit is always ready and willing to reveal these things. You want to know why Jesus was so good at drawing crowds? You have all these people come, right? You have all these people that are on the seashore. You have all these people that want to hear Jesus teach, and he's teaching them, and he's teaching them, and there's other places in Scripture that it says after he taught them, they walked away. Why? Because just as Jesus was fantastic at gathering crowds, listen to me, Jesus is also good at clearing out a crowd. Because once he gives them things, if people don't get them right away and they have to work for it, you know what happens? They start going away. They start falling by the wayside. They don't want to have to do the work. You see, many times, folks, you get a big crowd, but when they start finding out that Jesus, following Jesus, is more than just his signs and his wonders, they start clearing out pretty quick. And don't fool yourselves, we're the same way. When it's not the high praise, or when it's not the signs and wonders or the things that get us excited, oh my goodness, when it's just the daily and the routine things that Christ calls you to, and the dedication and the obedience that comes with it, it'll clear out a crowd real quick. You want to know how you clear out a crowd real quick as a pastor? You start teaching on obedience and sacrifice. And the things that come by tough from a person, commitment, and boy, the room clears out real quick. Because those are the things that Christ calls us to. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have here in this text this morning, in this one that Jesus says is important, look at verse 13. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? In other words, if you can't get this one, you're going to have a hard time getting the others. And there's more that follow that we're going to look at next week. All right? So you need to understand this parable. As we look at it this morning, it's important. There's three main groups in this parable. There's the sower, there's the seed, and there's the soil. The sower, the seed, and the soil. And what you see in the parable is that Jesus spends most of his time talking about the soil. Why is that? Why is that? Because listen to me, the sower is Jesus. And we know that he's a good sower, amen? We know that he's a gracious sower, amen? We know that he's a generous sower, amen? And that's not just some of the time, amen? Come on now. But it's all the time that God is a good sower, a gracious sower, a generous sower. So listen to me. The reason he doesn't spend time on the sower is because nothing's wrong with the sower. We also see there's the seed. Ain't nothing wrong with the seed either. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is incorruptible seed. The Word of God is perfect seed. The Word of God is precious seed. The Word of God is piercing seed. The Word of God is powerful seed. The Word of God is perfecting seed. The Word of God is professing seed. The Word of God is precious seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the Word will declare to you on its own, the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the Word of God, the seed, will last and endure forever. So if there's nothing wrong with the sower and there's nothing wrong with the seed, guess what? There's a whole lot wrong with the soil. And guess who the soil is? Us. Us. Specifically, your heart. Your heart. You ever wondered how you can have perfect seed and a perfect sower, but it doesn't mean fruit will come out of the soil because the soil is problematic. Or how you can have a perfect seed and perfect sower, but yet the soil, which is problematic, will produce different results. The factor here, the problem here, is the soil. And so Mark, in his gospel here, shows us Jesus, who is going to indicate through parable why the soil is sown into the, why soil sown into the same seed and this by the same sower can produce different results. Let me give you just a real quick example of it. As a pastor, I hear this a lot too, and maybe you experience a lot in yours, that you can be sitting side by side to someone who's hearing, who's in the exact same worship service, singing the exact same songs, fellowshipping with the exact same people, hearing the exact same message that comes forth from the pulpit, but leave here and have two different, completely different experiences of the worship and of the word. Why? It's the soil. It's the soil of the heart. We need to make sure that we have the goal, which is good soil, but you need to identify the other soils that bring about the wrong response. First thing I want you to see is Jesus talks about wayside soil. Now, we read the first part, and we're going to be looking and dissecting the second part, which is verses 13 through 20, where he explains the parable. The first kind of soil is wayside soil. He talks about it in verse 4, and then again in verse 15. He says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." This is soil that's by the wayside. Now, when we say by the wayside, it means it's the farthest out from the sower. The sower is scattering seeds everywhere. This is the seed that is farthest away from the sower, or soil that's farthest away from the sower. And so it's soil that has absolutely no depth. It's soil that is hard. It's soil that is tread on by everybody. It's where the crowds are. It's where the onlookers are. It's where 95% of your culture is today, following the narratives that the world puts out. They're all on the wayside. They're on the peripheral. It's where everyone travels. And so because it's where everyone travels, it gets tramped down. It gets matted down. It's hard. There is absolutely no growth that takes place on the wayward soil. And so when the seed comes, it just lays there. And when the seed does hit it, it says immediately that the birds come, the fowls of the air, and devour it and carry it away. What do we know about birds of the air in Scripture like this? It's talking about Satan. It's talking about the enemy. The enemy comes and steals it and snatches it out and takes it away before it can be sown in the heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be careful about having wayside soil in your heart. This is the cultural heart right here. This is the one that is in line with everything that you hear on the media. This is the one that follows everything and does everything by the ways of the world. Yeah, they may be here on Sunday morning, but that's just about it. They watch from the peripheral. They're farthest from the sower. They're farthest from the master. They're ongoing lookers, but they are not engaged whatsoever. And so the word gets out to them, praise God. The word gets there, but they are so in tune with the world that the seed sits on top of a hard heart. Let me give you an example. You hear the word of God on a Sunday morning because you come to church, and then you walk out these doors, and before you even walk out these doors, you're talking about the football game in the afternoon before you leave the sanctuary. The enemy has taken the word, stolen it from your heart that's been put there, and now you're focusing on the things of the world again, the things that the culture wants you to focus on. It gets stolen away real quick. You have a hard heart that cannot devour or cannot take it in. You have casual involvement. There's careless importance to the word. And because you have casual involvement and because careless importance is there, the word gets confiscated from you. It gets stolen from you. It does not stick. There is no root. And folks, that's a soil that we should be concerned about. Because if everybody's trotting that path, if everybody's going down that road, if that soil is hard, you need to remember that Scripture says that broad is the path that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. You want to be on the road that's not traveled much. Your heart needs to be soil that isn't hard because it's where everybody else is. Last I checked, ladies and gentlemen, there may be a reason why there's a song that's called Stairway to Heaven, but then Highway to Hell. Stairway to Heaven's narrow. Highway to Hell is broad. It's a path that everybody takes. Wayward soil is distant. Distant from the master, distant from the sower, and so it's hardened. Next, we see that there's stony ground. Stony ground, verses 5 and 6, 16 and 17. There's stony ground. It says in verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arriveth for the world's sake, immediately they are offended." A heart that has stony ground is emotional in response. That's the first thing I want you to see. What does it say? It says, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. What we know about stony ground, there's not much soil, but when the seed goes on anything, seed can sprout anywhere, just about. But there's a problem with seed that just sprouts anywhere and sprouts just on stony ground. It doesn't last long. And that's what we see. They are emotional in response. Look at what it says. It says, immediately they receive it with gladness. They receive the word with gladness, but it doesn't last. Right? Can I be real blunt and honest with you right here? This is the person that's happy on Sunday mornings, but hates life the rest of the week. This is the person that puts on the Christian mask when they come in on a Sunday morning, but yet they're depressed as soon as they walk out of here. This is the person who lifts their hands and prays Jesus, "I'm wonderful, I'm great, the Lord is good," and then as soon as they leave here, they're whining and they're complaining and they're down about everything. It does not last. They receive it with gladness. But then it goes forth and it dies really quick. Why? Look at the next part. Because it's empty in relationship. It says, and have no root in themselves, and so it only endures but for a time. The seed comes, the seed rises, but there's no depth. There's no root. There's no relationship with God. They're high on a feeling. They're high on something that they know. They're high on something that they've heard, but it goes away real quick. Because unless there is a root, unless there is a depth, unless there is a root, it will produce no fruit. Folks, we all know it, and we may be one of them. It's the people. Everything looks good on Facebook. Their Christian walk looks good on Facebook. Everything looks good from the surface level. But there's nothing underneath. You get past that surface level, things die real quick because there's nothing under the soil. And I want you to see how it dies real quick. Look at verse 17. It says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, check this out, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. What causes it to die? What causes the seed to go away and to not produce fruit? It's because it's destroyed by affliction, but not just any affliction. You see, some of us think persecution for our Christian faith comes from small things, right? Oh, the devil's on me, I'm so tired. Well, maybe if you went to bed at a good time. Oh, I don't feel good, the devil's really attacking me. No, it's because you don't eat right. Right, we bring a lot of stuff on ourselves and we like to blame the devil and then think that we're being persecuted. Look at the kind of affliction and persecution it's talking about, church. It's talking about persecution that arises for the word's sake. In other words, the persecution that will come upon you when you live by God's word and people don't like it. The persecution that will come upon you when you proclaim the things of God and believe the things of God and go against the narratives that are in this world and people don't want to associate with you anymore. When you prioritize the things of God and people say, well, then I'm prioritizing you out of my life. It's things that you're persecuted for the word's sake. In other words, taking a stand for God and the persecution that comes from it. And look what happens to people when you don't have a root and your faith is on stony ground and it's all tied up in feelings and emotions and there's nothing concrete there underneath. Look what happens when those afflictions come. When people say to you, I don't want to be around you, or they butt heads with you because of your Christian worldview, or because you believe the Bible, or because you prioritize church, or because you prioritize worship and the things of God, listen to me, look what happens. It says, immediately they are offended. And what happens? They walk away. In other words, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. Lord, people don't like me. Lord, people don't want to be around me, and it's because of you. They get offended. They walk away. Can I tell you something this morning, church? You'll find out real quick, as a Christian, you'll find out that there's a price for living for God in this world. There's a price for living for God in this world, and you got to be willing to endure it. You are going to have tough times for the sake of the gospel. You know, everybody wants to claim the good blessings that Jesus talks about, right? You want to claim all those good blessings, all those good promises that are in Scripture, right? The ones we like, the one we want to hoot and holler about, the one that play on our emotions. But we need to remember that Jesus also said that because people hate me, they're going to hate you too. That's a promise, folks. You want to claim the promises of God? That's a promise. You can take it to the bank. They hated him. You live for him, they're going to hate you too. They're going to hate you too, and you got to endure it. And when we're not letting our faith take root, when our faith is abounding in stony ground, we will become easily offended. Psalm 119, 165 says this. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are rooted in the word of God, guess what? You are not going to be an ultra-sensitive person. When you are worded in the word of God, you are not going to be surprised when trials and troubles come your way. You're going to be able to stand firm upon the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. There's no growth that comes from stony ground because the seed is destroyed by the affliction. Look at the next one. There's thorny ground. Thorny ground. Look with me at verses 18 and 19. Jesus says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entered in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Thorny ground. There's no growth because you're distracted by attraction. Can I point something out to you here? It says that they are choked out by thorns. It falls on thorny ground. What we know from Scripture is that thorns, if you look in the book of Genesis, were a result of man's disobedience. Thorns are a result of man's disobedience. I know I've been giving a lot of hard stuff to you, but maybe I can give something good to you here real quick. Aren't you glad that the sower is a perfect sower and is a good sower and is a generous sower? Because even when there were thorns in your life, he still made sure that the word got there to you. And we can say that about all the soils that we're looking at so far, right? The stony ground, the hard ground, the wayward ground. Aren't you glad that the sower was willing to spread the seed of the gospel to all those places? And it found you in one of those situations? Praise the Lord. Come on. Some of that sowing and some of that seed's going out on your heart this morning, regardless of what condition your heart's in this morning. But praise God, he's faithful and still scatters it to all men and women. Amen. The seed got there even in spite of the thorns in your life, even in spite of the disobedience in your life. It says that this ground, this thorny ground, hears the word of God, but it gets choked out. How does it get choked out? It gets choked out by worldliness. Look at it. Verse 19, it says, "In the cares of this world, you won't receive the word because you've got worry. You've got stress. You've got anxiety. You've got all these problems. And Lord, I know what your word says, and I know what your word declares, but I've got all these other things that are going on in my life." Not only that, but it's, look at this, "and the deceitfulness of riches will choke it out too." Deceitfulness of riches. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't chase after Jesus if you're chasing after money. You can't chase after Jesus when you're too busy chasing after wealth. You cannot chase after Jesus when you're too busy chasing after the almighty dollar. You cannot serve two masters. Only one, ladies and gentlemen, will satisfy your soul, and it's not wealth. In fact, wealth, when you chase after it, is going to choke out the seed of God's word from your life. And some of you are like, "Well, I don't have any riches, so Pastor Jeff, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why you're focusing on me. I ain't rich." Folks, the poor chase after riches just as much as the rich people chase after riches. How much is enough money? How much is enough money? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. It also, another thorn that chokes it out is when we're fixed on wants. Look at this, "and the lusts of other things entering in." That's a catch-all for basically anything that's more important to you rather than what is important for what God wants in your life. Lord, I know what your word says, but I want to do it this way. Lord, I know what your word says, but we really want to go over here. Lord, I know what your word says, but I really want to go over in this area. You focus on what's important to you rather than what's important to God. And Here's the things, ladies and gentlemen. When we let those thorns in our life, when we let those disobedient things in our life choke out the Word of God, you know what we do? We may not miss out on worldly pleasures, but worldly pleasures only last a little bit. We may not miss out on the things of this world, but you will miss out on the things of God. And I don't know about you, but I want the things of God in my life. I want the things of God because the things of God are eternal. The things of the world pass away. They're fleeting and they change at every single corner. Thorny ground. Seed doesn't take root and does not have fruit because it's distracted by attraction. But now we get to the good stuff. And this is where we'll end. On good ground. Good ground. Look at verse 20. It says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise God that with a perfect sower and a perfect seed, that there is some prepared soil that brings forth fruit. Amen? Praise God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to read the Word of God. I just don't want to study the Word of God. I just don't want to memorize the Word of God. I want to be able to apply the Word of God in my life. Folks, those other three soils, all of them heard the Word of God. Did you hear that? All of them heard the Word of God. All of them had the seed fall on them. What's different about the good ground here at the end? It says they heard the word and received it. In other words, they took it in. They believed it. And not just by word that they believed it, they applied it to their life. They applied it to their life. Ladies and gentlemen, Can I talk about that first part, hearing the word? Hearing the word of God? You know what you have to do in order to have good ground first is you got to get yourself in a place where you hear the word of God. Where there's a sower who brings forth the seed. Okay? And praise the Lord, we have a good sower that does that. Look with me at verses 3 and 14. I love how Jesus begins his parables with this. It says, "Hearken," in verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." You know what a sower is supposed to do? Sow. Isn't that wonderful? Right? Go to verse 14. The sower soweth what? The word. The word. Why is it so important for you to, if you're going to have good soil, if you're going to have a heart that has good soil, that when you hear it, you can receive it, you got to go somewhere where the word is preached, where the word is sown. Okay? And I'm saying that, ladies and gentlemen, because there are too many people in this culture that go places expecting to receive the word, but they have never heard the word to begin with. You can't receive it until you hear it. Listen to me, folks. If you can tell, this is something that's been heavy on my heart for a little bit. And so you need to get involved in a local church assembly that brings forth the Word of God. And listen to me, that should be the most important thing when you make a decision as to where to be involved. The most. You do not go to a church based on their worship. Do not pick a church based on their programs. Do not pick a church to get involved in because your friends are there. The word of God says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Don't go to a church just because it's right around the corner from your house. Go to a church where the word is preached and the word goes forth and it's biblically based. And when you find it, treasure it. Stay with it. Folks, like I said, the word says what? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not say. It doesn't say thy worship have I hid in my heart. Look, our worship team is phenomenal. I love what they do. But worship ain't going to keep you from sinning against God. Singing songs ain't going to keep you from sinning against God. The word of God will. Programs in a church. It doesn't say, thy programs in thy church have I hid in my heart. Thy membership have I hid in my heart. It doesn't say those things. It says, thy word. Find a church where you're going to hear the word, but you got to prepare your heart to receive it. Sorry, that was a rabbit trail real quick. You got to prepare your heart to receive it. He received the word, and look, it brought forth fruit. It brought forth fruit. What is receiving the word? Applying it to your life. And applying it in a way that you are delighted in the things of God. That you hunger and thirst for more. Because you see the fruit that is brought forth. That's what it says. And it will bring forth fruit. But you know what's interesting about it? Did you notice there's another level of the parable within the parable? Look at the last verse. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So there's different levels of growth dependent upon how you apply the word in your life. Can I tell you something? Some of us get caught up on that last part, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, because we live the Christian life like it's a competition with other Christians. What Jesus wants you to focus on is having good soil, not the results that come about. Last I checked, Scripture says it's the Lord who brings the increase, Paul said. The Lord brings the increase. Some plant, some water, but it's the Lord who makes things grow. All right? Don't get caught up on the results. Focus on making sure you got good soil for your heart so that when the word of God comes and the seed falls, you hear it, you receive it, and you apply it, and it brings forth fruit. As the worship team gets ready to come back up this morning, I'm going to go back to the question of the message. What kind of soil are you today? What kind of soil are you today? Are you wayside soil? Stony ground? Thorny ground? Or good ground? There's four kinds that he talks about here in the passage. All of them have heard the gospel. All of them have heard the gospel. That Christ came, he died, and he rose from the grave. But only one of them produced fruit unto salvation. Only one of them produced fruit unto salvation. Because only one allowed the soil to be prepared to receive it. Only one of them, when they heard the word, did they take it in and they believe it. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? I just want to get your hearts focused as we get ready to go into this final song. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you would be what we call lost. You're lost. Wow. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel this morning. Christ came. He died on a cross for your sins. His precious blood atoned for your sin. He rose and beat death and hell. He's coming back again. Scripture says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will
be saved. The seed has been scattered by the sower at the pulpit. You've heard it. Will you receive it this morning? If you died today and found yourself in hell, listen to me, it's not going to be the sower's fault. It's not going to be the seed's fault. It's going to be the soil's fault. But the good news is that no one has to die and go to hell. The good news is that seed has been spread by the sower to the corners of the earth. Everywhere, no matter where, you just have to receive it. If that's you this morning, and this seed has fallen on ground today, good ground today, take it in. Respond to the Lord. His grace, His mercy, His goodness is available to you. But Christian, here's the thing. Maybe you're here today and you've said, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus. I know I'm a child of God. Even after you're saved, there's a ground in your heart to work. Even after you are saved, there is soil that needs to be prepared, or else it will not bring forth fruit. And ladies and gentlemen, you are called to bring forth fruit in your life. In fact, if you are here today and you proclaim yourself to be a Christian, if you have professed Christ, but there has been absolutely no change and no fruit that has come from you, you might want to check if you possess salvation. Because Scripture makes it very clear, if you receive it, there will be fruit that comes forth. Maybe not much. Maybe not as much as your friend that's sitting beside you, but there should be fruit. There should be fruit. And if you ain't working that heart, it's going to limit your growth. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot reap the blessings that the Lord has for you. And you cannot sow into other people's lives and bring forth a harvest for the Lord if you don't allow the Word of God to be sown into your own life. What kind of soil is your heart today? As the seed has been thrown out by the sower, what kind of soil is your heart today? Wayside, hard, stony. Maybe you'll live on emotion for a little bit and then burn away. Thorny. Maybe you're going to try to cast it aside today. No, I got too much of other things going on. Or is it good ground ready to receive? Heavenly Father,